We welcome you to our worship service, the third Sunday of Easter. You're in for a treat today, because several have asked what I preached about at the Cathedral Church in Ottawa last Sunday, and I thought, well, I'm going to preach it here, and it's on my favorite topic. And the reason you're in for a treat is in their worship service, their sermons are only about 10 minutes, so, you know, we'll have a short one today, but hopefully it'll be meaningful and speak to the truth. But I do have a longer announcement, and then I'll see if any of you have one. This is from Debbie Harvey, who is the director of the Lynchburg area Operation Christmas Child. And we've already knew, what do we do, 257 or something like boxes, and which per capita, she had told me in person, as per capita, as far as the size of the congregation, we had by far the highest per capita, which I'm very pleased in how Webb and Tony led it and how you guys just did. And here's a letter that she wanted me to read. Dear Congregation of the Well Church, wow. Just wow. Thank you so much for partnering with Operation Christmas Child. You are having an internal impact on the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You are placing tools in the hands of ministry partners in other parts of the world so that they will be able to go in some hard-to-reach areas, tell them about Jesus who loves them and died for them, and hand them a physical reminder of God's caring, the filled shoebox. For many, many children, this gift is the only gift they have received. Needed items and fun items are evidence that God cares for them. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for supporting the involvement of your church in the ministry. Thanks to Webb and his wife for translating the calls and collecting and organizing. Thanks to those members of your church that helped us put together shoeboxes and pack shoeboxes in February. And thanks to all the members for their time, effort, and resources. Let us know how we can support you. Blessings, Debbie Harvey. So, and I'm curious, if you either helped collect, you helped move, you helped pack, you brought in supplies. I think everyone in our church did something, didn't you? So, thank you for all of that. And I'll have this if you'd like to see. Any other announcements? Any prayer items? Yes, Tony.
Just my wife and her mom. She's going to go. Tony's packing up. She's leaving to go up today. And she's going to work on trying to get her mom transferred down here to our house in Big Island. And so we can take care of her.
And your dad's doing, Winston's doing better.
Correct.
And I just, you know, want to thank all of you. Tony's a, you know, a tough Marine, but he's got a heart as big as all outdoors, and we're blessed by the Brill's presence. So we will lift him up. Anyone else? I want to give praise. I knew a whole lot of people were going to be traveling today on cruises and the vacations and stuff. And, you know, it's all right because it's good to see all of you, but it's really good to see Glenn and Ruth. Mm-hmm. We've been praying for both of you, and it's just a joy to have you here, brother and sister.
I can tell you, this church family that we have here is really something. I can't do enough for all the prayers and kindness and phone calls and food and unbelievable. And we appreciate every one of you. Thank you very much. It's helped us. It's good.
That's what family does. And we love you and so glad you're back with us. I want to thank you for the prayers. You saw that I was able to read that without stumbling or using a magnifying glass. And you know, I didn't know 22 minutes can really make such a difference. So thank you, and I can see again. So, you know, that's usually a blessing. I appreciate your prayers. Any one of us. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious, holy, and loving God, we do thank you for all your blessings. We know that every good gift comes from above and is given by you without any wavering or any change. We're amazed not only at your mercy, but your overflowing nature. You, of course, are an expansive God. You cannot be contained by our thinking or by anything else, for you are all expansive. And how you show love is so large and indiscriminate. We thank you that we've all received that love directly from you through the gift of your Son and the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe. But we also are recipients of it as this congregation, the body of Christ, translates that love into very practical things. And we thank you for the love of this congregation. I thank you for the privilege and honor of not only being called to preach and minister your word and sacraments, but just to be able to do so with people that I truly admire and love for their love of you and their love of each other. We pray that that love will continue to expand, to extend to those that have been mentioned in particular. We're thankful that the Harveys are back with us, and just continue to work your healing power in both of them. We pray that you would be with the transition as Tony brings her mom home. We just pray that that will be a good transition. Be with Barbara and make her days, as many as you grant, that will be peaceful and that it will be a positive experience for both Barbara and for the Brills. I pray that you would continue to be with Winston. Thank you for the healing you brought there. Thank you for the healing and the ability to see again. And just thank you for all your goodness. And we thank you above all things for Jesus Christ. And it's in his holy name we pray. Amen. We gather as always in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God,
and put a new and right spirit within us.
Cast us not away from your presence,
and take not your Holy Spirit from us.
Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us to the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use Psalm 4, the first 8 verses, to call each other to worship, and then we'll stand and sing hymn 32. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause. You set me free when I am hard-pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my prayer? How long will you worship dumb idols and run on half calling gods?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful. When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me.
Tremble then, do not sin. Speak to your hearts and souls.
Offer the appointed sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
May I say, Lord, when I see our times, lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord.
You have put gladness in my heart, more than when grain and wine and oil increase.
Now I lie down in peace, and once I fall asleep, for only you, Lord, may make me dwell in safety.
The first lesson for today is taken from Acts 3, 11 through 21. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witness, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as do all your rulers." That ends the lesson of that.
Thank you. salvation of your Son. You raised up this fallen world. Teach us, whom you have rescued from endless death, to have the fullness of eternal joy. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And having made us your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second lesson for today is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself and as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as He is righteous. This ends this lesson for today.
Thank you. the source of all love. May your love and your light and your life, by the power of your Spirit, be made manifest in and through us, so all the world will know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In his name, amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The trip I took last week was actually planned from October 2019. But I said, because I don't really like too cold weather, I said, "Archbishop George, I want to come and visit with you, but I'm going to wait until the springtime. Because I don't want to come in cold weather. And, you know, the spring will be beautiful." Well, I missed my window, because if you remember, the spring of 2020, we were still waiting for life to get back to normal. And we're still waiting for life to get back to normal. But travel plans have somewhat opened up. So I was able to make the trip. And the truth is, a trend that has been happening for about 50 years, 75 years, was heightened and made worse by the pandemic. And that is the preference that we, as primarily Westerners, have to be isolated. They call it cocooning. And the trend, really, you could see it, that in the 50s, homes stopped having front porches. I remember being at my grandmother and grandfather's house, and after dinner, they'd go out and sit on their front porch. And so did all the other neighbors, and you would interact and socialize. But, you know, we get sort of tired of that as a culture. And around the 50s, front porches were replaced by most new construction to back decks, where we didn't socialize. And then we started putting up privacy fences. And then we started having attached garages that we didn't even have to get outside our home. We could stay in our protected automobile until we drive home. We could get out in our garage with the door shut. We could go inside and never be seen again by anyone until the next morning we repeated and went to work. Pandemic, as you know, made that not only more intense, but now we have good and medically driven excuse to stay isolated. And you may have heard something during that time that's a half-truth. And you know, a half-truth is a full lie. I don't know if it's like being partially pregnant. I don't know what half-truth is. And the truth was spoken in this way. The church is not the building. And that's true, isn't it? But the follow-up statement is as false as the sin that separated us from God and each other going back to the garden. The follow-up was, the church is not the building, the church is the what? People. And that's a falsehood. That's not correct. See, I can be isolated as a person. I can stay isolated when I'm a person. I'm still a person when I'm isolated. So I'm a people. But I'm not the church. The church is not the people. If you look at the Greek word for church in the New Testament, it's ecclesia. We get ecclesiology and whatnot from it. And if you look at that, it has a prefix that you can see above that door, ex. And ex, it means you do what? You get out. Ecclesia is not just people. It's people called out and assembled together. I can't do that in my living room. See, the church is not something that where we go to get good biblical teaching. You know, if that was the case, let me give you some names of some individuals that you can sit at home and get far better sermons than I can preach. And I'll stay on with you. We'll just watch really good sermons. You don't come just to hear biblical teaching. You can get that online. You don't even come to worship through songs and hymns. Nothing against our wonderful choir and pianist, but you know, you can listen to some really beautiful cathedral choirs and from around the world, and you could get, it would be a close second to our own music, but you could hear some good music sitting in your den. You don't really need the church to do social outreach. You could have done those boxes for Samaritan's Purse, or you could join the Rotary Club, or you could go to Parkview, or they're all good. See, but you can't be the church sitting in your bedroom or your den. The church is people called out and gathered. Why do we go to church? Well, I guess you could say, I come here because that's what I do for a living. But most of you know, if I was a plumber, I would like to think that my attendance and full involvement in church would be just as regular and consistent. In fact, the counters would like it because my tile would be a whole lot bigger if I was a plumber. But we're not the church at home. And we don't come to church for the reasons I just mentioned. Let me give you two reasons we come to church. As we read about this body of Christ in the gospel today, it was real. He didn't just say, why don't you have good thoughts and have this good idea about the church? What did Jesus say when people wanted to see, was he real? It's come and touch me. Come and put your hand in my side. Come and see the reality of it. And John, reflecting on that in 1 John, reflecting on this passage in Luke, he begins his first letter by saying, him whom we have seen and handled and touched and heard the reality of it. I'm going to give us two reasons why we come to church. And why we are church only when we come together. The first is, because that's where the grace is. That's where the grace is. Our means of grace are items that are properly held in the church, the gathering of the Christians together. The word, the sacraments. You know, it's illicit is the technical term, means don't do it. If you were baptizing yourself, you don't baptize yourself. You don't even take communion yourself. That's why I receive communion. We receive it. It takes another. It's where the grace is. Saint Cyprian, who was a third century bishop, he was the first to say, but every reformer after him has said it. Augustine said it. Luther said it. Calvin said it. John Wesley said it. Jonathan Edwards said it. Bill Graham has said it. Because it's the truth. Cyprian was the first, though, to say, you cannot have God as your father if you don't have the church as your mother. This is not just an optional thing. This is where the grace is. On the other side of St. Cyprian, there was a gentleman, bank robber, who lived a full life after he was pardoned, did most of his work in the 40s and 50s. You may have heard of him. His name was Willie Sutton, and he was a really slick operator, just a dapper man. And he was interviewed once, Willie, why do you rob banks? And you know the answer, because that's where the money is. We come to church, the assembling of us together, because that's where the grace is. It's where the love is. And Jesus said, and they will know you are my disciples by the love you. It didn't say by your good theology. I sort of wish it had, because it's easier to learn theology than to love everyone. It doesn't say because you'll picket every cause in town. Nothing wrong with taking a stand. We're called to do it, and we should. But we are to be known, as Glenn so beautifully testified to this morning. We're to be known by the love we show. Not just a good idea to love, but a casserole dish. Something that's real, that we can taste and touch and experience that love. So the first reason we go is that's where the grace is. And the second reason we go, because it's a foretaste of home. This is home. It's a sanctuary. You know, when we say the church is family, I've had people tell me they just not be a part of that, because the family, when they hear that, it's like, I don't need more of that. I mean, I'm in enough dysfunctional situation. Why do I want to come and have to give me another family? I even had several people through my ministry walk out and not be able to pray the Lord's Prayer. Because unlike most of us who had wonderful parents, for some people to have to pray our Father just brings back images. And so this is our home. This is koinonia. John writes, has Jesus' prayer in John 17, that you, not by yourself sitting in your den, you, plural, gathered together and called out, will have the same unity with each other than Jesus has with the Father. And what did Jesus say? The Father and I are one. We are one. So you have a vested interest not to shoot a hole in your buddy or friend's end of the canoe. Because we're one. And this is home. Now, it's not perfect. It's not perfect. We're a family, warts and all. Reinhold Niebuhr, the one who did the Serenity Prayer, and you've heard me quote this, he said, the church is like Noah's Ark. If it wasn't for the storm on the outside, we wouldn't be able to put up with the stench on the inside. And it does stink sometimes. That's why I'm so blessed and privileged to have a church that smells good.
the love is so evident among you. You know, it's interesting, though, that we confess every Sunday, and we will in a few minutes, that we're a broken, flawed family. Because what do we say in the third article? We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The Church, Holy Catholic, the communion of saints with all those who have gone. And as soon as we say we believe in the Church, the communion of saints, then what do we also say we confess? The forgiveness of sins. See, we can't even talk about being together without knowing it's not perfect. It's not perfect. But that beginning of that third article, before we say we believe in the Church, what do we say? We believe in the Holy Spirit. And then the Catechism says, we confess that we believe we can't believe without the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't love you without the power of the Holy Spirit. And you really can't love me without the power of the Holy Spirit. We relate to each other through that. Let me close with a story. For the whole Holy Spirit makes us one, keeps us one, and the Holy Spirit will lead us all home. Where the psalmist says, we'll be together forever in the house of the Lord. Forever. Home as His holy church. But we're not there yet. One of my favorite stories, and if you've heard it, we're blessed to hear it again. In 1911, one of my favorite presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, was coming home from a 2.5-year hunting trip and safari in Africa. He left in 09, came home in 1911. And the boat that came from Africa into the New York Harbor also had this Wesleyan missionary, the Morrisons, Henry Morrison and his wife. They had served in the back jungles of Africa for 40 years. And they're coming home. Well, when they got there, and I guess people on boats like they might do today, go to the edge and when they see the harbor. And when the Morrisons went, at first they thought, my goodness, the Mission Society has really done us well. Because they could see and hear a band playing. And they could hear cheering. But when they got closer to the banner, it didn't say, welcome home, the Morrisons. It said, welcome home, President Roosevelt. Well, as you well know too, preachers, you know, have a calling, but they're still flawed men. And Henry was a flawed human. And his wife writes in her journal that Henry just got really upset. He said, Lord, you know I didn't serve you for recognition. You know I didn't do what I did, that my wife and I didn't do what we did so that people would applaud. But my goodness, this isn't fair. President comes back from a pampered hunting trip. And he gets this type of recognition and acknowledgement and celebration for coming back after 2.5 years of pamperedness. And we've been gone 40 years and we don't get anything. And his dear wife said, honey, we're not home yet. This world is not our home. But we're walking it together as one. That's why we can't do it alone. We are the body of Christ. And we love each other. Amen. Let us confess our faith, standing and using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creator God, you made the wonder that is earth, inscribing soil, sky, and sea with life, energy, and glory. Though we look upon you with eyes dimmed by the fall, you gaze upon us with eyes filled with grace. You breathe new air into our choking lungs. You bring life out of toxic soil. You turn polluted seas into the waters of baptism. You parted the waters to liberate your captive people, and you rolled away the stone to bring us face to face with your resurrected Son. You make us your Son's body, taken, blessed, and broken on the cross to be shared for the life of your world. And so we gladly thank you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Recreating God, when your Son came to restore your purpose for the earth, he took the fruit of your abundance and the food of human labor. Come now among us and make us holy. Declare us holy by your good grace in the sharing of your gracious abundance and our faltering endeavor. Take these gifts of bread and wine, and may they be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Ever creating God, your Son Jesus invited his disciples to touch his risen body. Come now in the power of your Holy Spirit and touch all that is still to be resurrected. Touch all who live in fear. Touch any who know daily hunger. Touch those who carry wounds and scars. Touch all who are yet to see the salvation you bring through your Son. Touch any who are stumbling and tentative in their faith. Touch those who are disbelieving and still wondering. Touch your whole church and make us one in you, that your scars may again proclaim your glory, and we may be united with your saints in the coming of your kingdom, ever one God, on earth as in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As John and Peter responded in our reading today, when they were asked for gold and silver, they said, "Gold and silver have we none, but that which we have, we give unto you." See, the truth is, we can't give what we don't have. Hateful people can't give love because they've not received love.
people that don't know the sweet taste of forgiveness cannot forgive others. And only those who have tasted grace can extend graciously and live grace. Or as we know, you are what you eat. And we come and we feed on the very body and blood of Christ. And we are His tangible body. We receive it. And since we've received it, we can extend it to the world, proclaiming His death as long and as often as we come to this table together. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive His grace. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
thank you for your rich bounty from this you have fed us. We tasted your grace. We tasted and see that you are good. And we know we're walking each other safely home as one. We thank you that your church not only expands from Lynchburg to Ottawa, but around the world and throughout the corridors of time, where with all the heavenly hosts, we will be joined as one with brothers and sisters from the four corners of the world, eternally singing your praise. For only you are good, and in your grace you've allowed us to taste it and to receive you. Now strengthen us for the journey, and we give you the praise and glory in your holy name. Amen. Let us close our worship singing 453, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Peace to love and serve our Lord.